Hey, you're listening to Can You Exploration, your topic in a podcast. And this is Reggae Month, yeah? We talk about Black History Month, but remember, we also celebrate Reggae Month in Jamaica and perhaps other parts of the world, right? And we're going to be looking at the late legends of reggae, the legacies of the late legends, those who have passed away, right? We're just going to be talking about them a bit. Right, I am Canute White, your host and Canute Exploration, and let's deal with it. Right, we're going to be looking at about 10 legends of reggae, right, Jamaican reggae artists who have gave us reggae music throughout their lifetime. Some of them, right, from they were young, and they have passed on now, and they have all left with us legacies, musical legacies, right? They have trained others, and that's also a sort of legacy, right? Because they have realized that there must be succession planning within the industry, so they have ensured that there are persons with their own musical concept, right, that they could pass on, right, to these individuals who continue to reign in the reggae music industry. And as we celebrate Reggae Month, we look back at those eras of reggae, those legends of reggae who have done well and may their soul rest in peace. You know, the first one we are going to be thinking about, right? And you know, it's a legend, Bob Marley. Yeah, the great Bob Marley, Robert Nesta Marley. Yeah, Bob was born, as we say, Robert Nesta Marley. But hold on. His birthday is February the 6th, so rightfully so, Reggae Month. So Bob, you know, birthday falls in Reggae Month. He was born February the 6th, 1945, was born to Sidella Marley when she was 18, and you know that his father was said to be a non-Jamaican citizen, right? Bob's early life was spent in a community called 9 Miles in Jamaica. And we're getting all of this from www.bobmarley.com, right? And on April 17, 1980, when the former British colony of Rhodesia was liberated and officially renamed Zimbabwe, and the Union Jack replaced with the red, gold, green, and black Zimbabwean flag, it was said that the first word officially spoken in the new nation were, "Ladies and gentlemen, Bob Marley and the Wailers." Yeah. You know, Bob Marley, as we all know, was an icon in this musical journey of Jamaica, this continued musical, reggae musical journey in Jamaica, right? The Pittsburgh show that Bob Marley was involved with, right, in, took place just 2 days after Bob Marley learned that the cancer that had taken root in his big toe, right, actually exist, and you know that was in 1977 following a football injury that he had sustained, right? It had manifested, right, and it spread throughout his body. Bob courageously fought the disease for 8 months, even traveling to Germany to undergo treatment at the clinic, right, somewhere in Germany, at a clinic somewhere in Germany. at the beginning of May 1981. Bob Marley left Germany to return to Jamaica, but he did not complete that journey. He died from cancer in a Miami hospital on May 11th, 1981. Bob Marley, Robert Nesta Marley. We salute you from Canute Exploration, the Honorable Robert Nesta Marley. He was awarded posthumously OM by the Jamaican government, Order of Merit, right? And Bob had left great legacy, not only for Jamaicans and Jamaica, but for the world. Everybody around the world knows this man, this great singer, Robert Nesta Marley. And I know people are listening to me from Italy, Germany, Ireland, Spain, right? I even see Ukraine somewhere on the list there when I look. You know, people subscribe from Ukraine. And you all know Bob Marley. You know, the legend, right? As we continue to look at some of the legacies of the late reggae legends, those who have passed on and have left legacies for us to, you know, as we continue the reggae music journey. This is Canute Exploration, and I'm Canute White, your host, right? Canute Exploration, your topic in a podcast. And this is Reggae Month, and we're looking at some of the reggae icons. Yeah, there's another reggae icon, right? Sounds sort of like Bob Marley. Look, you know, the flex is sort of like Bob Marley, but he was also born on February, born in Reggae Month. Guess who? Guess who that is? Love and hate can never be friends. Oh no, oh no. Here I come with love and not hatred. Yes, it's Dennis Brown. Dennis Brown, born on February 1st, 1957, in Jamaica, right? Kingston, Jamaica. His father, Arthur, was a scriptwriter. He was also an actor and journalist. That's Dennis Brown's father. Dennis Brown grew up in a large tenement yard between North Street and King Street in Kingston, Jamaica. He and his parents were there, three elder brothers and sister, right? Although his mother died in the 1960s, right? You know, Dennis began his singing journey at the age of 9 while still at junior high school, right? With an end of term concert, the first time this guy performed in public was during that concert at school, although he had been keen on music from an early age. Dennis Brown, right? His legacy, you know, it's so profound, right? He was an inspiration and influence for many reggae singers from the late 1970s through to the 2000s. These singers that Dennis Brown had influence and his legacy, you know, still continues through these singers, includes Barrington Levy, Junior Reed, Frankie Paul had died, but he was instrumental in Frankie Paul's singing journey. Luciano Bushman, Richie Stevens, you know, so this guy Dennis Brown have done so much to materialize, to instrumentalize the reggae music, you know, and he had left a legacy to others. Yeah, Dennis Brown, another February man, you know, who had died. Leaving legacies for the reggae industry, right? And for Jamaicans and the world as well. You know, Wikipedia talk, you know, about Dennis Brown, and you have to understand the time when Dennis Brown had been sick and his health was failing. Wikipedia said that Brown's health began to deteriorate in the 1990s, the late 1990s. He had developed respiratory issues, probably exacerbated by the long-standing problem with drug addictions. Right, according to Wikipedia, you know, namely cocaine, and leading to him being taken, you know, illness came down on him in 1999 after touring in Brazil with other reggae singers. Right, he was diagnosed with pneumonia. After returning to Kingston, Jamaica, on the evening of the 30th of June 1999, he was rushed to Kingston's University Hospital, you know, the University Hospital in Mona, right? And he was suffering from cardiac arrest, right? And Dennis Brown had really done well in the music industry. Really done well in the music industry. He died from cardiac arrest. Rest in peace, another brother in the reggae music industry, leaving legacies as we carry on the journey of reggae music. You know, when I was in school, I have a brother who usually carry me during high school time. You know, I had a brother who usually take me to stage shows, right? He loved those things like places like Sting and, you know, those stage shows. And I remember always seeing this artist on stage. He dressed in sometimes some African gown looking garment, right? And he was militant in his voice and in his singing. He was never afraid to talk, right? And I was saying, hey, and on stage he was like, you know, just he talked his mind, right? And just be the security forces were there. He was just outspoken, you know, sometime outspoken enough as to perhaps incriminate himself, right? But he was. He was that sort of a outspoken guy. Yeah, Peter Tosh, right? That's the man, you know, I mean, that man is so outspoken, and, you know, he will just tell you like this whilst on stage. Peter Tosh was born Winston McIntosh in the rural parish of Westmoreland. He's a Westmoreland man, right, in Jamaica in 1944. He moved to the notorious Trench Town, you know, it's so called because it was built on the trenches and drains, the sewage of nearby Kingston, you know. And you at age 16, this great singer, you know, started to build his musical journey, and we could see it developed through hard work. We're getting all of this from www.petertouch.com, right? His mother strongly influenced him in his musical journey, right? And her sensibility would become more apparent in both his lyrics. You'll hear that in his lyrics and his views, right? As she was particularly concerned that he have a Christian upbringing. He attended the local church, right? His mother wanted him to have a Christian upbringing. He attended the local church, and his experience at the local church is very instrumental in his music, right? And his journey as a reggae artist, right? He was singing in the choir and learning to play the organ, formed a sort of a musical apprenticeship and preparing, you know, this sort of formed that apprenticeship journey and prepared him for his boss, we'll call it in Jamaica. It just prepared him for bringing out his potential, his musical potential, as he become one of Jamaica's great reggae singer, Peter Touch, we are talking about, and petertouch.com tell us that his work, Peter Touch work, right? Trumpet Freedom, according to that website, right? So freedom was the theme that Jamaica, this Jamaican artist was orchestrating, right? And the other theme that also came from his music was a struggle against injustice, and he emphasized the connection between music and revolution by, you know, using his guitar like Bob Marley, right? Yeah, and his guitar, right, is usually in the shape of an M16 rifle, right? Yeah, that's Peter Touch. I told you that guy's fearless on stage, right? And he was a very great Jamaican singer, right? And is somebody that we love. Peter Touch, as the website said, never back down or soft pedal his views, right? And I have said that to you just now. He's fearless on stage. Yes, Peter Touch, you know, he is such a great singer. He said that you can't blame the youth, you can't fool the youth. What you teach the youth, that is what you will see. So you have to be careful how you teach the youth, right? But Peter Touch was really a giant in the music industry, right? He often expressed his views with humor, right? And was capable of light-hearted surprise as much as full-voiced outraged, right? According to the site, right? He was an accomplished unicyclist. You see, if you look at the way Peter Tosh, the character of Peter Tosh, you see some of Bob Marley as well, right? You will certainly see some of Bob Marley. And Dennis Brown, right? These guys are unicyclists as well, right? And he was a delight to his audience. You know, I have seen him perform, as I have said to you before, when I was a child, right? I have seen this man perform. It's playful side, and he has that even on stage, and impressionable charisma, prove especially charming to women, according to the website, right? His reputation as a ladies' man is well observed, and the website said deserved, right? That we're talking about Peter Tosh, as we talk about some of the late legends of reggae and the legacies that they have left. It's Reggae Month, February, and you're listening to Canute's Exploration. I'm Canute White, your host. Canute Exploration, your topic in a podcast. Peter Tosh, he was murdered. I was at St. George's College. I was at school. I was in school. And I remember I was sitting at a table studying, and I heard the news. It was September night, right? And according to the website Black Star News .com, right, the night was described as a dark day for reggae and a sad and shameful day for mankind. What had happened, according to the website? What is known to date is that on the evening of Friday, September 11th, 1987, three gunmen on motorcycles entered the singer's residence in Barbican, Jamaica. Apparently, known by the singer, right? The three were in the house for a short while before the massacre, as it was called, as it is called by this website, began. Again, I quote the website: "What a dark day for reggae, and a sad and shameful day for mankind." You know, the artist was murdered with two others. Free Eye, I guess, was another person, and someone else, and may soul continue to rest in peace. Yeah, he had done well and had left a great legacy with us. Hey, nobody talk much about the next artist that we'll be talking about here on Canute Exploration as we celebrate Reggae Month. But he died in a car accident. Yeah, in a circle. Know about that, man? Alright, so you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, this man is a very powerful man in the music industry, again, the reggae music industry. He had done so much for the industry, and so many songs have been, you know, released by this singer. Right, he was born in Mandeville, Jamaica. Right, and at the age of 8, he moved to Kingston, where he was raised by his maternal grandparents. His move to Kingston would prove to be an event in his life that was critical, as he began spending much of his time in the recording studio around the city. Most notable is the Clement Sir Coxel Dodds studio, otherwise called Studio One. Jacob Miller, yeah, his singers developed and he developed a reputation as a great singer in Jamaica and around the world. His success ultimately drew Inner Circle to hire him as the lead singer for the band. Yeah, that's Jacob Miller, right? You know, Jacob Miller, you know, he left his legacy with us, right? You know, Jacob Miller was in the movie Rockers, yeah? Many other musicians, including Gregory Isaac, we'll talk about him later on, Big Youth, Burning Spear, you know, was in that. Within that movie, right? So the reality is that Jacob Miller was not only a singer, but he was an actor. Jacob Miller went with Bob Marley and Island Records founder Chris Blackwell to Brazil to celebrate Island's opening new offices in South America. Yeah, you know, and not long after returning to Jamaica, Sunday the 23rd of March 1980, Miller and one of his sons, sad news, died in a car accident on Oak Road in Kingston, Jamaica. Miller and Inner Circle had been preparing for an American tour with Bob Marley and the Wailers, and also the next album, Mix Up Moods, had been recorded before his death. Jacob Miller was the cousin of Maxi Priest, the British reggae artist Maxi Priest. Jacob Miller was his cousin. Rest in peace, Jacob Miller. Rest in peace, my brother. Rest in peace. Guardian.com, www.theguardian.com. I quote, "The singer Frankie Paul was died age 51 of complications related to kidney failure. Was a leading light in reggae music during the 1980s and 90s. He was one of the key figures in the movement away from Rasta-influenced roots reggae to the new ascendancy of less spiritual but hugely popular dancehall music, becoming a prolific recording artist with dozens of albums to his name and global profile enhanced by touring. Yeah, they were talking about Frankie Paul, born Paul Blake in 1965. He was blind at birth, but an operation on a hospital ship, we were told, succeeded in giving him a small vision. So he was born blind, but because of that operation, he had what they call a small visual capacity, right? Yeah, Frankie Paul later went to New York to obtain a pair of iPod glasses that help him to see even better, right? This singer attended the Salvation Army School for the Blind, where he first began singing. Stevie Wonder visited the school, and Paul sang for Stevie Wonder. That's the American singer now. And an impression by Paul, you know, make Stevie Wonder advise him to take up singing, because Stevie Wonder was impressed. So Stevie Wonder encouraged him to take up singing. Paul learned to play the piano, drums, and guitar while still in school, and was most influenced as a singer by Dennis Brown. You see, Dennis Brown legacy again. Stevie, we call him Jamaican Stevie Wonder, right? Frankie Paul. So in his early days, Dennis Brown influenced him, right? As Frankie Paul makes it, you know, along the recording industry, one of his first record though was African Princess in 1980, and he was still just 15 when he does that, young boy. In 1983, he appeared on two volumes in the Channel One's Showdown series, one with Sugar Minot, we talk about him too, and the other with Little John, right? Frankie Paul, yeah, allmusic.com give us those information. Can you not love that voice, right? Yeah, Frankie Paul, Jamaican Stevie Wonder. Yeah, you're listening to Canute Exploration, the extended version, as we look at the legacies of some of the late legends of reggae, right? Celebrating Reggae Month, February 2021, right? Canute White, Canute Exploration, your topic in a podcast, and let's look at Frankie P some more. Frankie Paul, right? You know, Frankie Paul was really a giant in the music industry, right? It's interesting how he grew up at the age 15, he his first recording, and he grew up in the music and had done so well, and until he passed away. It was, as it was said, a very sad day when he passed away. And I said again, the Guardian.com basically see it as a sad day for the music industry, a dark day for the music industry. Frankie P, Frankie Paul. This other artist, reggae artist, he had his style of singing had created what many had called the blueprint for the contemporary Jamaican reggae style of singing. Sugar Minot. Sugar Minot. You know, AllMusic.com, the artist's biography was done on that platform by John Green. And John Green talks about the artist being equally influenced as a, having equal influence as a producer, and his exceptional popularity within the sound system arena, right? And he had helped to launch, according to Green, numerous new DJs, and you know, he put them in the limelight. Sugar Minot, Lincoln Barrington Minot, his real name, was born in Kingston, Jamaica on May 25th, 1956. He began his musical journey in the sound systems while still a child, working as a selector for the Sound of Silence Keystone outfit before launching his own gathering of youth sound system just as he it is teens, according to Green. Right, he carried on merely as the selector, right? However, in 1969, Minot decided to take the mic himself, not as a DJ now, but as a singer. One third of the African Brothers Roots Trio alongside Tony Tough and Derek Howard. Yeah, so Sugar Minot, no vacancy. You know, that was a reality, you know, back then, and it was even, it's even a reality now. A lot of places you can't get no job, right? Worse in a COVID situation at this point. But yeah, you usually see the sign on the wall or fences of businesses saying, "Hey, no vacancy. You know, we don't have any job for you." You know, so Sugar is saying, everywhere you go is no vacancy. Yeah, the man leave a legacy, right, for us all. Minot was diagnosed with heart problem in 2009 and died on July 10, 2010, following his admittance to the Kingston, well, to a Kingston hospital, according to his biographer. After he had complained of feeling poorly, perhaps not feeling well, right? He was 54 when he died. Rest in peace, Sugar Minot. Rest in peace. I realize that your family, you know, your sons and so take on the singing thing and doing well, I heard. And most of these legends, their family members, right? Especially sons and daughters have gone into the singing, right? So they have left legacies within the family unit, their own family unit as well. Culture, Joseph Hill. Yeah, You know, I love cultural reggae music and culture. You know, we call him, you know, they call him, but Joseph Hill, Culture at the Band. Joseph Hill was born in 1949 in St. Catherine, in a St. Catherine man, St. Catherine, Jamaica. In fact, in Lindsted, St. Catherine, so all the people from Lindsted. Yeah, Joseph Hill was born there, Lindsted, St. Catherine. Joseph Hill, you know, this reggae month, February 2021, Canute Exploration, looking at the legacies of the late reggae legends, right? So, Joseph Hill was one of those. Joseph Hill, he was raised in a Christian family, you know, Wikipedia will tell you that. He was raised in a Christian family and began singing in church at the age of 6. Within 2 years, he was making his own musical instruments. After leaving home, he came into contact with the Rastafarian movements, yeah, and adapted the faith, right? Joseph Hill formed the band Culture in 1976. Yeah, let's continue to recall Joseph Hill. Joseph Hill, one of those great reggae legends who have passed on and have done so well, right? You know, the song that Culture has been known for me, right? I remember this song, 2/7 Clash, right? And the early success of Culture, as the Wikipedia platform had suggested, was this prophetic song, 2/7 Clash, predicting apocalypse on 7th of the 7th, 77, that is 7th of July, 1977. Yeah, Culture think that song was a prediction as to what will happen in Jamaica on the 7th of July 1977. You know, I think the People's National Party was in power during that time, and it apparently was a calm day. Not so bad as had been predicted, but Culture had done well, and Joseph Hill, who is the founder of Culture, had done well, right? And as a member of the Rasta movement, Joseph Hill was a devoted worshipper, right, of Emperor Isilasi of Ethiopia. Indeed, he basically earned the honor, the nickname, Keeper of Zion Gate, reflects his position as one of reggae and Rasta's greatest voices. You know, Joseph Hill was a great reggae singer with very profound legacy in the reggae musical journey. The Joseph Hill appeared to be a very good performer as well. Yeah, like the others, like Peter Touch, Bob Marley, Sugar Mine, and all the other names that we have called before, Frankie Paul. But Joseph Hill seems to be a very good performer. I love listening to Joseph Hill, right? I love listening to that artist. Rest in peace, Joseph Hill. You know, I really do love listening to him. He was a fantastic reggae artist, a cultural singer that I have admired, and there's something about listening to his music, that culture in general, that will just keep you listening and give you that chanting vibes, right? Joseph Hill died on a tour bus just after entering Berlin on the 19th of August 2006. At his funeral in September 2006, it was eulogized by, among others, Jamaican Prime Minister, the Right Honorable Portia Simpson Miller, who recognized his contributions to Jamaican culture and the music of Jamaica. That singer was a great singer. Right, his son Kenyatta took over the role in the band Culture. Enough respect, Joseph Hill and Culture. Give thanks, bless. In the memory of another legend, Loop News had published something that I'd like to quote. The Loop News on December 9th, 2019, and I quote, "Although he died 25 years ago, Silk remains a legend. He was a Rastafarian who sung about God, and his songs such as Zion in a Vision, Kingsley Character, and Love is the Answer celebrate the true love of the Almighty." Yeah, you know who Garnet Silk is in our memory forever. Cool singer, yeah, as we celebrate Reggae Month on Can Youth Exploration, your topic in a podcast, we look at the late legends of reggae, right? And the legacies that these late legends have left with us, right? And now we are looking at Garnet Silk. Yeah, Garnet Silk. Garnet Silk, his message was strong, according to Lou. Meaningful, deep, and inspirational to many youths in the little time he had in his musical journey. Yeah, he was an artist and a man way ahead of his time. Yeah, Lou was really quoting Anthony B on that. Right, Garnet Silk, born Garnet Damian Smith, the 2nd of April 1966. He died the 9th of December, 1994. Yeah, he was a great Jamaican artist. He was known for his diverse, emotive, powerful and smooth voice. Have you heard it? Yeah, you heard the voice, yeah? Garnet, Silk, you know, reggae icon. He has passed but left a legacy behind, right? He's a very talented brother. You know, this brother journey, in musical journey, ended by, you know, his early death while he was attempting to save his mother from her burning house. So, you know, this guy have a kingly character, right? Oh boy, I tell you, right? But he has left a legacy, having signed an international distribution deal with Atlantic Records. Silk eventually entered Tuff Gang Studio. Silk recorded 10 songs during that Tuff Gang Studio visits, those Tuff Gang Studio visits. And his album was nearing completion when, you know, he actually went home to visit his mother. Silk had borrowed a pair of guns from his lawyer after his house had been burglarized, according to Wikipedia, but had no idea how to use them. Sitting with a couple of friends at his mother's house in Mandeville, Jamaica, on the 9th of December, one offered to show him how they worked, at which point the gun accidentally misfired, hitting a gas cylinder, right? And setting the house and on fire, right? Ablaze. The singer, his friends and two brothers made it out safely, only to discover that his mother, Silk mother, was still trapped inside. Silk rushed back into the house to save her, but it was too late, and both Silk and his mother died in the fire. And that was coming from Wikipedia, and I have noted and heard the report that he died in a fire trying to save his mother, and that shows his kingly character, you know, and it's really critical that we salute this icon of reggae in this reggae month, February 2021. Can Youth Exploration, your topic in a podcast, looking at the legacies of late reggae musical legends this year. Garnet Silk, rest in peace, my brother. Rest in peace, sir. Look, the next person we'll be looking at, the next artist we'll be looking at, you know, he was called the father of lovers rock, according to allmusic.com. Father of lovers rock. Guess who that one is?
To me, you wanna be my number.
Yes, you guessed right. That's the cool ruler, Gregory Isaac, the father of Lovers Rock. Gregory and Tony Isaac, born 15th of July 1951, died 25th of October 2010. Yeah, great reggae artist, right? He was really an excellent singer, great performance too, like the others, right? He's a great vocalist in this reggae industry, right? Gregory Isaac. In his teenage years, you know, his adolescent, he had become a veteran of the talent contests. You know, he had gone to several talent contests and had done well. You know, allmusic.com told us that he was performing so well that he continued to do well among persons in the industry that time, right, that have been looking at him as one of the reggae sensation that we will see, right, in his time, would have seen in his time. In 1968, he made his recording debut as Winston Sinclair with the singer Another Heartache, right? Recorded by Byron Lee, right? You know Byron Lee, right? Many of you would have heard about Byron Lee. Yeah, the cool ruler, you know, Gregory Isaac. Isaac actually died of lung cancer on the 25th of October 2010 at his home, right, in London. Memorial service was held on the 20th of November in Kingston at the National Indoor Sports Center, right? You know that is at the stadium ground, that side there, right? Persons that paid tribute to him during that time, Lloyd Parks and We the People Band, Ken Booth, Freddie McGregor, Shaggy, Judy Mart, Mavado, and the Tamblins, and others, right? Because Gregory was such a great singer, you know, he was such a great icon in the music industry, right? The Gregory Isaac Foundation was set up in his memory on the 15th of July 2011, and Isaac's birthday, by his wife, and it's really an intention of continuing his charitable work. Right, a year later, free concerts were staged featuring artists such as Uriah, Big Youth, the Mighty Diamonds. Great band, I love listening to them as well. Right, and in July 2015, right, a mural, that picture drawing on the wall, right, by Junior Moore depicting Isaac was unveiled at 125 Orange Street. The former site of his cash and carry shop, and now the Lego recording studio. This is now a studio, right? Yeah. The unveiling also saw the launch of the Cool Ruler Springwater, right? Rest in peace, great Gregory Isaac. Yeah, see you again in 2016. It was announced that the Jamaican government would posthumously award Gregory Isaac the Order of Distinction Officer Class in recognition of his contribution to the country's music. And you know, that is good to hear, because I realize that the Jamaican government have all administrations, but Jamaica Labour Party, People's National Party, they have contributed well to the culture of Jamaica, to the reggae, the musical culture as well, and they have not left out the musical icons, be it reggae or otherwise, and they have showed appreciation for the contribution that these great Jamaicans have made to the culture of Jamaica, the musical culture of Jamaica, and we have seen where they have awarded medals to many of these Jamaicans, be it posthumously. Bob Marley was also given order of merit, right? So they have done that, and I must lift my hats off to them. Kenyute Exploration appreciate that, and we must say congratulations to the Jamaican government for being so caring towards the reggae icons. This was an extended version of Kenyute Exploration as we looked at reggae artists and the contribution that they have made to the music, right? And not only in Jamaica but worldwide. We know you're listening to us from all over. Kenyute Exploration, we are here every week. We explore topics, but various disciplines. It should be psychology, education, inspirational topics, you know. And this month, you know, we celebrate Reggae Month and Black History Month. Next time you hear us, we'll be looking at something associated with Black History Month, and now we have just looked at Reggae Month, and last week we look at something as it relates to Black History and the linguistic culture of Jamaica. Look for us, we're on all podcast platform, I suspect most, right, if not all. Share with your friends, comment, subscribe, rate, and look out for us again. Remember, we're living in a COVID time, a pandemic. Wear your mask, wash your hands, keep your distance, and guys, when the vaccine come your way, take it. It's cool. Take it. Right? Have a nice week. Enjoy. Until we see you again. Goodbye.